You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 240. Welcome to the Punk News Podcast. My name is Adam White. I am barely alive, crawling out of the grave to try to record this for you in my basement in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Joining me on tonight's show out of, I don't know which coast you're on. You keep moving. I assume you're still west?
Long story short, I was literally on the way to the airport on last Thursday. And I get a call from my boss's wife, who's our office manager, who's in Vietnam. And she's like, I need you to stay another week till I get back from Vietnam, while I was on the way to the airport. So I told my friend Jackie, and actually if you listen to last week's podcast, you can hear me talking to Jackie, asking her to pick me up. I said, Jackie, we got to turn around. I'm staying for another week. So Johnny G, features editor, a man of action, still on the West Coast, and picking up them rare West Coast records, baby.
Well, also on the West Coast, down in Los Angeles, we have Mr. Ricky Frankel.
Hey, yeah, that was that was an abrupt exit, John, last week.
Yeah, last week it was Tricky Ricky, Greg Simpson, and special guest Scott Hyde on the podcast, and I left after like 15 minutes on the podcast because I had to go to the airport, but not really. And so listeners, I haven't even heard the podcast. I have no idea what happened last week, and let me say, I'm a little nervous.
I'm just assuming that once you left the room, Greg just took it over and made it into a closet hour-long two Gregs, one podcast advertisement.
Yeah.
and Ricky tried valiantly to rescue the show, and they were just like, shut up, Ricky, get in the corner. And then you just had to get in the corner.
You know what? I'm not going to say what happened. I'm not going to say if that did happen. You'll just have to listen to find out.
Well, Ricky, since we're talking about your private life, you got something really cool in the mail with the record the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, this was weird, man. This happened today. I was a little late on the on checking out the War on Women record, and I really liked it. So I ordered it on vinyl from Bridge Nine Records, and they sent me a bunch of shit with it. They sent me like two posters, a lollipop. What else? Oh God. They sent me a CD EP, like one of those mini CDs. And then they sent me like a condom. And it was a disturbing looking condom. You can see it on Punkin's Instagram. We tweeted it today. It's on the Facebook page now. It was like a black package, and the condom itself was black. And I think it was cola flavored too. This is hands down the weirdest order I've ever gotten in the mail. I did not expect that at all. So apparently the Barretts got the same thing, but they also got a dental dam apparently. And then I later found out that this condom company is not like Trojan. It's an all vegan condom contraceptive company. I don't know what the fuck that means, but this is hands down again the weirdest order ever, and I made as big of a deal as I could about it.
I'll tell you, Adam, I just can't believe how women throw themselves at Tricky Ricky. I mean, it's amazing. I would love to be Tricky Ricky, even for like 6 hours. I'm sure he's already used that condom, being Tricky Ricky. It is amazing. Like Adam, I don't know. I know you're friends with Ricky on Facebook. Girls are constantly asking Ricky to go to shows. They're constantly sending him messages on Facebook, posting on his wall. Tricky Ricky is truly the Mac Daddy of Punk News. But the best part is, though, he's way respectful. And I think that's why women like him. He's not like one of these pickup artist kind of guys. Just Tricky Ricky, and the women love him for it. Let me tell you.
Here's the thing. I think that's a little exaggerated, but thank you, John. The thing is, like, I'm respectful, but at the same time, I don't try, and I think I really don't try that hard.
Ricky's just rubbing it in now.
Yeah, I'm not like rubbing it in. It's just like I don't go out of my way to try to be like social like that. I just kind of, honestly, it's the last thing I expect going to like a show or something like that. So sometimes it happens. There's no way I am using that condom. I am putting it in the with the record in its with its not case, but like the in its plastic sheet. So
the
that's
sleeve,
what,
yeah.
Yeah, it's staying in there because that this is
just so that just, one day you'll have a special lady friend over and she'll be like going through your records and she'll pull one out and she'll pull that one out and she'll look at it and then she'll realize what a fucking creep you are. And then
Ricky should have over like a girl that's like really into like crust punk or anarcho punk, and she's like, check out my records, and she's like flipping through them. She pulls out War on Women, and Ricky just stands there like raises his eyebrows.
I mean, it's with the War on Women album. Any other album, it would be weird with, but it's with the War on Women album.
So speaking of records, Boyo's here. This is the start of a new era for us because the first record store to open in Niagara Falls here in, I don't know, the entire lifespan, I can't remember us having another store locally, it has opened. It is one of two that we're getting. And this thing is here now. The folks who I want to give them a shout out here because I'm really, really excited about them, and the store looks just wonderful from the pictures I've seen. A lot of you guys will mail order stuff from Shop Radio Cast. Those guys are local. Those guys live in my hometown here, and they bought a building they started renting in a building where they were going to go and, you know, put their office, and then they realized, hey, this building has a storefront. Let's make it a record store. And they've made it a record store. And I'm looking at pictures here, and I can see there's like, I can see the Off record on the wall. Ooh, I can see the Off. I mean, I don't need the Off record, but I can see it, which means there is a retailer within like asteroid strike distance of where I live that is selling on, you know, the Off record. That is a whole new universe that I could potentially go buy a record and not have to drive to the middle of fuck nowhere. So I'm excited. Let me tell you, I'm excited. I have not been here yet. I think today was the day that they opened. But I'm pretty excited. So we got that place opening here. We got Mind Bomb Records opening in St. Catharines soonish. So this is exciting. This is cool. It's maybe not financially wise, but I'm excited.
Adam, I'm so happy for you.
I am. You should be. So, yeah.
Do you know where you're going to for Record Store Day then? Have you chosen which one?
Oh, I know one of them went and posted on Facebook that they've started taking like orders.
All right.
And they're like, here's the list. And I'm like, oh God, this is more real now. Like, so I have to look at the list. Like, I have to do something. I'm usually just able to ignore these things, but now I have to do something. So I know it's new territory for me. I'm going to ease into it. I'm going to be, you know, be gentle and yeah. So this is exciting. I'm excited. I just wanted to say. So, John, what's in the mailbag?
All right. We got some mailbag. As always, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. We got a bunch of mail. We got some positive, some negative. This is from Ben. Ben just wanted to say, I just wanted to thank you all and Mr. Gentile for playing the Mau Maus on a recent episode last week on the Punk News, or 2 weeks ago. We talked about Ariel Pink and we played the Mau Maus because the main guy from the Mau Maus was in the Ariel Pink video. Here's what Ben said. I have unknowingly been looking for that song for a long, long time. There's a scene in Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke where Cheech and Chong enter a battle of the bands. They show the other bands that are competing very briefly, and one of the bands plays a few bars of I'm Psychotic, the song you played on the Punk News podcast. Turns out that band is actually called the Berlin Brats but their lead singer went on to form the Mau Maus. Anyway, you helped me solve a decades-old-long musical mystery, and I thank you for that. Have a good one, Ben. So I guess that's really exciting to me because, A, we turned somebody onto the Mau Maus. B, I didn't even know that there was a proto-Mau Maus band. So I looked into this band, the Berlin Brats. They put out 2 7-inches. They actually predate punk rock. They're from like 1973, 1972. On top of that, the track I'm Psychotic, the original version by the Berlin Brats, is like a garage rock tune. So the Mau Maus actually went from like garage rock, like the last wave of garage rock, to punk rock, first wave of LA punk rock. That to me is really cool. And I didn't even know that till we got this letter from Ben.
That's really cool. I like it when people, you know, respond to some of the crazy musical things that we managed to pull out on here. So that's really exciting. And with all of that positivity, we can just assume that the rest of the mailbag is nothing but cheer and sunshine. Am I not right?
Well, here's another one that's cheering. This is from Richard. Richard's written to us before. Richard's pretty cool. Hi, John. Thanks for talking about The Mob on the podcast a few weeks ago. I dig the track No Doves Fly Here. The Dropkick Murphys are playing in a couple weeks. It's not really my thing, but I'll go see them because I try to support the bands that pass through. Keep on playing the old tunes because I do discover music that way. Signed, Richard. So thanks for the letter, Richard, man. Richard's a cool guy. He's the guy that sent us over that old anarcho-punk track that we played about 6 or 7, well, actually more like 3 or 4 months ago. So that's from Richard.
There we go. See, more positivity, John. That's what I'm talking about. We have one more positive blast.
Here's another positive blast. This is from a guy that calls himself Arch. I don't think that's a real – well, maybe it is. I don't know. Arch. He says, how dare you talk trash on Blink-182? Blink-182 has gotten more people interested in punk rock than Black Flag, The Clash, The Sex Pistols, and The Ramones combined. You should at least pay them the appropriate amount of respect. Signed, Arch. So that's Arch commenting on basically me, Adam, and Mark Little – I mean, not Mark Little, Greg Simpson giving Blink-182 a beatdown about 3 weeks ago. So –
oh, I thought that was going to be much harsher.
Well, that's from Arch, and we got a couple of other emails chastising us for being anti Blink 182. what can I say? I encourage the listeners to write in with their opinions. I will read it, even if we disagree with it. And one thing I'm trying to do is, I always say to listeners, write in your opinion even if you disagree with us, and then they do that, and then we kind of like beat them down because of it. So in the future, I'm really going to try to not attack. Or at least not even smack around or attack a letter that says we're doing stuff wrong. I'm just going to try to read it and comment on it, but remain appreciative. Maybe I'm being a little too psychotic, and maybe we are appreciative. I don't know. So anyways, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. And thanks for writing, everybody.
I feel unscathed.
Well,
I was ready just to – I was ready for the horde. I was ready for the Blink-182 people to just like – I don't know. Emerge from the food courts wherever they emerge from.
The depths of the pop punk caves.
I've got 3 more emails about Blink-182 if you want me to.
No, I don't want to read them. I'm going to play a song and then we're going to talk about some punk news. How about that? So this is a track from a band out of Sackville, New Brunswick called the Mouth Breathers. The song is called Born Grown. It's from a cassette release that they put out called Corrupt the Youth that they released on Killer Haze Records. It is super fun. I mean, all you Blink-182 fans that are, you know, writing us about how, I don't know what you're writing us about. Respect, I guess. Anyways, respect. If you guys like fun pop punk, this is super fun pop punk. It's charming. It's delightful. It makes me so happy. So anyways, this song is called Born Grown. It's from the Mouth Breathers out of Sackville, New Brunswick.
Live in lover and America.
And we are back, and that was happy, and I'm happy. And we're going to talk about some stuff. Now, I guess we're going to start off here with Gang of Four's Andy Gill. Andy commented on the recent Viet Cong show cancellation. We talked about that a few episodes ago. So, as you know, the band Viet Cong, which is a band out of Calgary or Vancouver or somewhere on the Canadian West Coast. Anyways, they had a show canceled because their name was deemed offensive by the show organizer. Andy Gill, who is a founding member of Gang of Four, a band with another potentially potent name, issued a statement to the Brooklyn Vegan blog when he was asked about it. Here's what Gill said. Gill said, "It's a little ridiculous to ban bands for their name. We can all think of dozens of bands with really quite offensive names, and as soon as you get into being the guardian of public morality, taking it upon yourself to decide what's okay and what is not, you're acting as an illiberal, undemocratic, and unprogressive way. People should be treated as grown-ups capable of making their own decisions. We should not be deciding for people what we think they are capable of understanding or not. Artists, filmmakers, writers, musicians need to be uncensored so they can make their point, political or otherwise." So there you go. Gang of Four, of course, recently released What Happens Next. John, this was like a way more elegant way of saying what we kind of babbled out on the show, I feel. So that's cool.
That's why I wanted to talk about it. Honestly, I was embarrassed when I read this because this is so much more eloquent. It's like the exact point I was trying to make but was stumbling around the block trying to make while Andy Gill is like Zorro, zap, 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 zap.
It's like Andy Gill is a consummate artist with a you know assured voice, and we're just some assholes on the internet.
What I thought was exactly on point was he like people should be treated as grown ups capable of making their own decisions. When you take it upon yourself to decide what's okay and what is not, you are acting in an illiberal, undemocratic, and anti progressive way. And I think that is exactly it. I think that in a way, people that are trying to protect people's feelings, people that are trying to make sure no one feels bad by a name or art, is basically almost the most reactionary conservative thing you could do out of complete censorship. And so I think the progressive way of thinking is that people can make their own decisions and that you don't have to agree with things other people say, but you have to defend the right to say it or at least agree with the right to say it. And that's exactly what Andy Gill said. And that's just why I wanted to include this article, because I agree with it 100%.
Yeah, I do too. But he's right. I think that, but what you're seeing is the politically correct police, especially on college campuses like this one, always making sure like this kind of stuff is, you know, I mean, this stuff is usually protested by kids who are just starting to take their general ed classes that are too easy and they have nothing else to do. Or, you know, there's these people that are suddenly become these uber politically correct people and think like everything needs to be protested. And this happens especially on college campuses. If I were a band right now, I would avoid college campuses, especially with a name like that. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but if the fans will come if you go like right if you are not on a college campus, if you have a college crowd following. I gotta tell you, I would just avoid it. These campuses altogether for this exact reason. And this has happened before. I think I said the last time we talked about this, this happened to the New Pornographers a few years ago. And that's not even an offensive name.
I think the New Pornographers was a religious school.
Was it?
However, in Viet Cong's defense, and that's what made this so severe, was the college reached out to them and said, "Will you come play our concert?" You know, so I mean, our band is going to turn down money, you know, just because something might go bad, something might go wrong, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they need the money, then yeah, do it. But if you can help it, I would just not even bother with college campuses.
So remember, in Ricky's words, if you're U2 or or Elton John or Billy Joel, you can turn down the college gig.
If you can help it, I that's what I would do if I were in a band. But anyway.
I like how we take things Ricky says and then reinterpret them in a way that's more amusing for us.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, John, we're going to talk about the Downtown Boys.
Downtown Boys.
the band has released a new tune. It is called Monstro. It's going to appear on their upcoming Don Giovanni Records LP. The album is called Full Communism, and it is due out on May 4th. You can hear the new song over on Punk News. The band is on tour right now with Screaming Females. John, tell the world about the Downtown Boys.
Downtown Boys is pretty cool. Editor Adam Eisenberg got me hip to this band. Downtown Boys is, I guess it's six people total. And what they do is they play very explosive, very vibrant, very berserk punk rock. And I've been chastised for comparing them to X-Ray Specs because their lead singer is this really fiery young lady, just like polystyrene, and they have a sax in the band. People are like, well, just because they have a sax in the band and they've got a fiery young lady, it's not like X-Ray Specs. But I do kind of think the band's kind of like X-Ray Specs, at least in the fact that they've got a fiery young lady up front singing politically charged lyrics and have a saxophone in the band.
Yeah, if I had to describe X-Ray Specs, that would be the two things I would say. So,
and I mean it as a compliment, of course, but I just think they're a great band. I'm excited for this album. They've got a 7-inch they just repressed. You should check that out. And they've got a CD that I think is way out of print. And so, I mean, I just check out this band. If you see them coming around, they're what I would say one of the more interesting, one of the more varied, one of the more different acts in punk rock today. It's not Beardo punk about being friends. It's berserk wild punk about socio-political issues, but also about wacky stuff like slumlords and that kind of thing. So it's cool. All
right. Yeah, I thought this was cool too. If they don't like being – if whoever said that they don't like being compared to – X-Ray Specs. I when I listened to this song, I kind of thought they sounded like a band out of, I think, Portland, Oregon, that I reviewed a long time ago called Shitty Weekend.
Oh yeah.
I definitely got that kind of. It's almost like a hardcore folk punk kind of thing with horns. So I dug this. This track. I think they're cool.
All right. Well, speaking of things that are cool, and I guess also speaking of things that we have to, I guess, resurrect from the flaming wreckage of last week, fucked up. You guys talked about this, but whatever, we're talking about it again. They've announced their plans to release the next release in their Chinese Zodiac 12-inch series. This release is going to be called Year of the Hare. It's going to come out on Deathwish Records. And it's due out on June 16th, 2015. Year of the Hare, the A-side runs a good, healthy 22 minutes. And the B-side, which is called California Cold, is just slinks in there at a paltry 8 minutes. So this is the second 12-inch series to come out after Glass Boys, right? Because Year of the Dragon came out right after that, or right around that time.
Year of the Dragon was technically a few months before Glass.
Was it before? Okay, so yeah. This is the first one after Glass Boys. So I haven't heard any of this, of course, but I am super excited because all of these Chinese Zodiac fucked up records are just really cool and weird. And, I don't know, weird in a way that bands don't seem to have the balls to do these days. And I like that. It's fun. It's cool. So whatever shit you guys talked last week while you were talking about, I don't know what you were talking about last week, braid or whatever. Well,
Seaweed.
Well, you know, yeah.
Twinking Twilight. The world is a horrible place. I am afraid to die. Front porch step.
I mean, what
brown,
I said
little
about
brown bike.
It's a small brown bike, but anyways.
What I said was, I don't know. I couldn't really get into Glass Boys, but I really like Fucked Up's early stuff. I love the Police EP and No Passer On. I don't know. I'm kind of like on a love-hate kind of thing with Fucked Up. And I really do want to like them because they're a cool band, especially the live. But I'll give Year of the Dragon a shot, though.
I don't know what they said on the podcast last week, but they were wrong.
Or just that's fine too.
Ricky, I actually sympathize with you, and if you're a punk rocker like me and Ricky, if you're a true blue punk rocker, Glass Boys probably is not the place to start with Effed Up. I mean, really,
no.
I liked Glass Boys. I did not love Glass Boys. I loved chemistry of common life, which I think is a perfect merging of, you know, their early hardcore stuff with some of the more experimental stuff. That being said, my favorite things by Effed Up are the Zodiac singles. Check out Year of the Dragon. Check out Year of the Pig. I think Adam's favorite is Year of the Tiger, I think.
I'm a big fan of Year of the Tiger.
Yeah. Year of the Tiger. See, I mean, these releases, to me, distills what punk rock actually it is. It's a band making dangerous, weird music without any other restraints or constraints. So it's challenging, it's exciting, but it rocks, too, for the most part. I have heard a fragment of Year of the Hare because I have the Effed Up mixtape number 5, but those fragments never actually sound what the thing sounds like anyway, so I haven't really heard it. So I gotta say, Year of the Hare probably isn't the best place to start with Effed Up. You probably want to get the singles collection, or Year of the Pig, or Year of the Dragon. But I think Effed Up is continued. See, and actually, that's another point, is I liked Glass Boys, but Glass Boys didn't necessarily seem challenging or dangerous to me. It was almost Effed Up making a safer Sonic record. Whereas,
yeah, I thought it was a little too experimental.
Glass Boys?
I mean, maybe not experimental is not the word, but I'm not really sure. But whatever they did with David Comes to Life, they multiplied that for Glass Boys.
I agree. I agree. I think they made it a little bit more calm sounding.
Maybe.
What's cool about the Zodiacs is sometimes they have comp sections, but they're usually very challenging, sometimes discordant, very bold. That's what I'm looking for. The Zodiacs are very bold, and that's what I appreciate about this band. So I think Effed Up is still one of the most interesting bands in punk rock right now.
All right, so we're going to move on from Fucked Up. We're going to talk a little bit about Tartar Control. You gotta make sure your teeth are taken care of.
Yes. Do you want me to?
You're so excited. So yeah. Why don't you go right ahead?
All right. So Tartar Control have announced their new album. It's going to be called "We Forgive You," and we will be out April 6, 2015. So it's soon. The album is the band's follow up to their debut album, 2011's "Holy Crap," which I reviewed and love. You can see the teaser of the video below. Video, pretty straightforward. I sent you guys, I know, I don't know if John saw this, but I guess, Adam, you watched the video a little bit, I guess, before we started. What do you guys think? I want to hear what you guys think first, and then I'll talk about what I know about the album so far.
Well, so this was a live clip of them playing at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach, California, back in November of last year, and my initial impression was, oh, John will really like this, mainly because they're playing punk rock in the, you know, in that tradition of being, you know, we're going to be incredibly, you know, sardonic and biting and funny while we're doing it. And they're doing that sort of thing. And that's to me, that is one of the John Gentile staples. So, I mean, I appreciate it. It was fun. I was listening to it earlier. John, you probably like it too.
Yeah. Ricky is right. Adam, you are correct. And once again, you described me better than I could describe myself. I think this band is very exciting. I think this band's very funny, and I think it's cool. I mean, they do have sort of a Guar, you know, I love Guar, and I call it the Guar vibe, but maybe it's more of an Alice Cooper vibe, like, I guess, playing a character on stage. So it's two Mormon guys, and I love their robot that plays with them. I just think it's hilarious. They have a robot for no apparent reason that plays with them, and I just think that's hilarious. They've got a song called Smoking Crack, which I think Ricky played, which I think is hilarious because the lyrics are like, I don't want to go to school, so I'm going to smoke some crack. I don't want to do some home. I don't want to do my homework, so I'm going to smoke some crack. And then later on, they're like, I'm out of cocaine, so I'm going to smoke some crack. And I think this band's great. I would love to see them live, and I think it's a clever concept. I wonder if the idea was spawned by South Park or not. I don't know. But even if it was, it's still a cool idea. Ricky, can you explain why they're called Tartar Control, though? Like, I don't get that.
I haven't found a specific reason. There's no – on the Holy Crap, there are no songs about brushing your teeth, which later when we talk about We Forgive You, that actually comes into play. They have this – how would I describe it? They have a song that they've been working on. It didn't make it onto Holy Crap, but they've been playing it since like 2013 called Brush Your Teeth. And these guys, what they do is they just talk. It's a hardcore song about telling some asshole who hasn't brushed his teeth in a long time to brush his fucking teeth, and that's like that's those words are like the chorus. They also do this like chant and a breakdown of that song. They go Oral B, Colgate, Aquafresh, Crest, Colgate, and it builds up. So that's the only thing. But they also talk and like during the song they ask people like. Like, when was the last time you brushed your teeth? And they say, like, and whatever the person in the audience says, like, you know, 6 weeks. He says, that's disgusting. Then he goes up to, like, what about you, miss? When was the last time you brushed your teeth? 10 minutes ago? You have OCD. And, like, so they have their act down so well on stage. These guys just, I think it's just something that, like, if a Mormon band that was influenced by Leftover Crack, which is, it says that in their bio, that they were to name their band something, what would it be? So it's not, doesn't come off as like super offensive, but then I think it's really to be misleading. How about that? Cause you don't expect what happens when you watch them live.
I would say, here's why I like this band a lot is they're kind of funny. They make like rocking music, and they're not scared to be different or do something that hasn't been done before. That's why I like this band.
Well, that's and I told them this when I met them in February. When I've seen them twice, and I saw them in January and February, and I met them and I told them that that they're one of these. They're a very rare band in that they're able to do comedy very well. And the music doesn't suffer. The music is just as good as the comedy. So any of the songs that you listen to are actually really good. And they sound just as good, if not better, live.
Well, play a song then. Let's check one of these out.
All right, so real quick, the new album's called We Forgive You. I've heard two songs so far. There's Brush Your Teeth, and then there's another song called that was hysterical when I saw them live, called My God's Cock. You can probably find it somewhere on YouTube, but we don't have it right now. So here's my favorite song off Holy Crap. It's called Sodomy Basket. That's right. It's actually called Sodomy Basket. It's probably the darkest and funniest song on the album. So again, here's Sodomy Basket by Tartar Control.
Sodomy Basket now.
Sodomy Basket by Tartar Control. And actually, you can catch Tartar Control at Punk Rock Bowling at the, I guess, the wind-up show. That's the wind-up show is May 25 at the Country Saloon way out in Las Vegas. As you may know, Punk News is sponsoring Punk Rock Bowling. Punk Rock Bowling is the annual punk rock festival where people listen to punk rock and bowl. It's in Las Vegas, and there's a lot of shows this year. It starts on May. It basically runs May 22nd all the way through May 25. Lots of groups are going to be there. Against Large Jane Grace is going to be there. Frank Turner is going to be there. GBH, Rizzillo's. A lot of acts are going to be there. Let's see who else is going to be there. Oh, Sick of It All, Jello Biafra is going to be there. Swingin' Utters, Muddy Muddy Boss Tones, Pears, another Ricky Frankel favorite. Yep. Sick of It All, Wilhelm Scream. A lot of cool bands of punk rock bowling this year. It's looking cool. It sounded like Adam White was actually working on his last funeral rites, so unless he's there, I'll start off with this next article. Unlocking the Truth. As you may recall, Unlocking the Truth is a heavy metal band composed of 8th grade kids that play heavy metal. It's a trio. They played the main stage on Coachella. They've been all over YouTube. They were sort of a phenomenon or a sensation because it's eighth graders playing pretty ripping heavy metal. Last year, they signed a deal with Sony with a potential payout of $1.7 million. I forget if it was 2 or 6 album contract, but it was a multi-album deal. Well, it looks like it was too good to be true. Just this week, on March 14, at a premiere of a documentary about the band, the documentary is called Breaking a Monster. Here's what the band's lead singer, Malcolm Brickhouse, said. And this is 8th grader, or maybe 9th grader now, Malcolm Brickhouse talking. Our attorneys are working on our exit from Sony now. So it looks like things have soured and the band wants out of the Sony contract. And I gotta say, in this case, the Jaded Punks were right. I remember when this happened, last summer, I guess it was. Like I was saying, how all the punks and all the commenters were like, I feel bad for these kids. I hope Sony doesn't abuse them. I hope Sony doesn't take advantage of them. I hope they don't regret this. And I'm like, why is everybody being so negative, man? This might be great. Like this really might be something special for these kids. This might set these kids in a superstardom or permanently enshrine them in a place in music. I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing ever for these kids. Well, it wasn't. They haven't released a single song yet, and they already went out of the deal. So a lot of things involved in here. There's a legal question, which we can address in a minute. Did Sony just sign this band? I mean, do you guys think Sony's being oppressive towards the kids? Do you think the kids didn't realize what they were signing on for? Should record labels not sign super young kids to their labels? Could we all see this coming? Because I sure did not see this coming.
Major labels, man. I thought it was too good to be true in the beginning until I saw them, like, perform on the Colbert Report, and I'm like, these kids are really good. I mean, good for them. But it did seem like, and then I kind of caught myself and said, like, maybe this is going a little too fast. So I don't know how. I mean, the thing is, we don't know what happened. It could be there. It could be them wanting to back out for whatever reason, or it could just be Sony really is being abusive or taking advantage of them. Still, how $1.7 million for 14-year-olds is abusive, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty good coin for just starting high school.
Well, to be fair, it's a potential payout of $1.7 million up front.
I didn't have that potential when I was 13.
Well, up front they got $60,000 with a possible option of $350,000 for the second disc.
That's still pretty good. So
that's pretty good.
I don't know. I would like to hear more on why this is going on. I'm sure if they have attorneys already, I would not be surprised if they're gonna battle it out in court. Or maybe they'll settle it out of court and be quiet about it. I don't know. I hope they don't do that. I'm really curious to see what happens.
Do you think it's just that Sony's not doing anything on their end, that like Sony did it to buy the free PR and now like no one wants – I mean, this story is old as time itself. Somebody signs a band to a label, but then the A&R gets fired, so the band is kind of stranded on the label with no one in their corner.
I don't know. I mean – the thing is, we don't know until we get an official statement or it actually goes to court and we can like see whatever court documents are released to the public. I don't know. I would not be surprised if it was Sony being a pain in the ass. But I'm not going to really make an official like opinion until we kind of get more information, because it's kind of premature to tell.
These poor kids. That's where I'm coming at with this. You think about being, let's say you're a ninth grader, okay? So you're just kind of getting started in high school, and you have a really cool band, mm-hmm. and people acknowledge that you have a really cool band. Without getting involved in any of the business end of it, these kids could have. Well, I guess they still can, but now they got to deal with all this bullshit. Could you imagine the high school life that you would have if you were just in an awesome metal band the whole time that everyone acknowledged? That's really cool. These kids get to be incredibly cool. They get to, you know, they get to live like a life that like a lot of like dorky high school band geeks and stuff never get to do. And it's sort of a shame that they can't just be that, and that they have to have gotten caught up in the whole, I don't know, the whole viral marketing bullshit end of this, where oh, isn't it amazing that these kids are so young, let's get them on all these TV shows and then sign them to a big record deal and then fuck them, and then right, and then oh, now they're dealing with legal problems and they're nine, right? Like they're in grade nine, they're not nine, right? But you know what I mean? Like, it feels like, wow, like, oh, kids, you could have just been in a cool band and not have had to deal with this bullshit. But now you got to deal with this bullshit. That's no fun. I can't imagine that's fun. I hope that whatever's happening here, it's like their lawyers and Sony's lawyers are in a pit somewhere fighting, and they don't even know. And they're just going to get a letter one day that says, we won or we lost. And then they're going to go on with their lives.
I mean, once it's all over, don't you think like some sort of indie major will like jump at them?
I think they're kind of too much of a gimmick band. I mean,
realistically, these kids should have just been in like an incredibly cool buzz band that like everyone in their local town knew, and they were going to ride it out for, you know, a few years while they were in school and getting their education, whatever like that. And then maybe they go on to become, you know, a band that's actually like, you know, releasing records and touring and stuff like that after they're out of school. But, you know, maybe they don't. But in any case, they would have had a really cool time, you know, on the journey. And then if they do emerge as a like quote unquote real band after that, then they don't have to deal with the kind of like weird infantilizing stigma of being like, oh, you're that band of kids. Isn't that cute?
This band is kind of doomed from the start. Not that they're not, they are amazing musicians, but that people only see them as young kids that are amazing musicians. Like if these guys were 25 making this kind of music, then they wouldn't have the buzz behind them. It's purely because they're young. So every day they like lose more and more of that buzz, you know? And so, but what I think is interesting is I wonder if the contract is signed with their parents, with a company that somebody owns, maybe the parents own or the kids own, or with the kids themselves. Because if it's the kids themselves, they can void any contract when they turn 18. You know, they just have to give the money back. So at least they got that going for them.
So what you guys are saying is that these guys are the Hannah Montana of metal.
What I'm saying is they're the Sex Pistols of ninth graders. Because they're going to take all the Sony money and run and write a song about how much they hate Sony.
Tal Cross has announced a release date for their upcoming record. The band, did you guys like that segue? I just started instead of letting an awkward silence happen.
With a band as bold as Tal Cross, you don't need a segue. You just go Tal Cross.
You just interrupt whatever's going on. So, anyways, so this band who features Rob Miller of Amoebics, Michael Away Langevin. I can't. I'm barely alive, John. Voivod. Bah. John Misery of Misery and Andy Lefton of Warplague have released details on their upcoming new album. The release is to be self-titled. It's coming out on May 19th on Relapse Records. A teaser trailer that has some clips of the new songs can be found over on Punk News right now, so you guys should go check that out. John, you were really excited about this. Last time we talked about this, there was no music to hear, but now we have this teaser. Is it Is it what you expected?
It's exactly what I expected, which is good. What I would say is I'm amazed about how quickly this whole thing was announced and how soon it's going to be out. You know, 5-10 years ago, albums would have a year-long release time frame, or at least like 8 or 9 months. The announcement of this band and the release of the album, it's literally like a 3-month time span or less. But honestly, like, the clips sound exactly like you expect. It's got the amoebic slow and heavy rumble. It's got the Voivod, you know, thrashing cadence, and it's got kind of like the crust, I guess the thrash crust attack of Misery and War Plague. It's more along the lines of Amoebic's second record or second LP, Power Remains, than it is their first seminal record, Arise. So it's more of a heavy metal record than a punk record, but it sounds really cool. They've got an acoustic track, which is cool because the last Amoebic record, which was called Sonic Mass, was an amazing, amazing record. And basically that record showed how bands, how Amoebic influenced bands like Sleep and Neurosis, and how Amoebic came back around and was influenced by those kinds of bands. I think this record is basically going to be an extension of the last Amoebic record, maybe with a little bit more thrash metal influences, and it's going to be awesome, man. It's really going to be awesome.
I have to say, to mock this just a little bit, it is super funny that in the teaser trailer how there's, you know, they're playing the music, which is all fine and good, and there's no problem with that. And then every once in a while, they flash up like a T-shirt, like buy this T-shirt,
yeah,
right? And like, hey, you know, imagery, whatever, buy this T-shirt. And then
they show that I froze it at the part where they show the, I guess, silver vinyl. They're like, hey, look at this, or whatever. So it's yeah.
Listen, Rob Miller literally lives in like a hut or a cottage in Scotland that has a grand population of 18 people. You can't get to Rob Miller and say, Rob Miller, how should you make this video? He's up in Scotland literally making swords. That's his job.
No,
he's
making marketing swords. People made this video. This is not the video of a swordsmith. Don't get me wrong. it's just wonderful how just like I get what they're doing. And, you know, God bless them. It's not a lyric video. But there's just something about this, like, heavy music going. Then all of a sudden this, like, T-shirt comes into the screen. And then it just slowly tilts. It just like pans across. Oh, it's delightful. Anyways, yeah, but this sounds cool, John.
It's actually
a cool T-shirt. Don't get me wrong.
I got to read a quote. Not to drag this out. I got to read a quote of a Punk News commenter. Let me see if I can pull up real quick from the last Hal Cross article. Basically the commenter put. Oh, here we go. Here's what he said. I love this quote. Because the photo I use is of Rob Miller literally forging a sword, because that's what he does. And Izzy Post Facto wrote, effing more McLeod music, come on, referring to Highlander because he's making a sword. And I'm thinking, Highlander music is Queen. Like if you're comparing Queen as something bad, I don't know what I can do for you, man. You know what I'm saying? I just had to get that dig in there. We can move on now.
All right, so one more story here, and this is, I guess we'll do it, but John, this is the kind of story we get email about.
Yeah, listen, good thing we're forging our swords, because we're going to need them.
And I don't want email about this. I have no ill will, but we're gonna get emails. So strung out, so the SoCal band that everyone on Earth loves, except for me, released another song off their upcoming release, Transmission Alpha Delta. The song is called Spanish Days. It's streaming over at Red Bull, the energy drink company. So the Transmission Alpha Delta is due out on March 24th, 2015. You can find the link to check this out on Punk News. Before we get into any kind of commentary on this, I gotta try to just explain my strung out position here. It's very similar to my lagwagon position, in that it, for like the past 14 years of my life, has gotten people mad at me, and I don't know why. So strung out is fine. I get why people like them, but they have never been a band that I have personally ever been able to get into. And when everyone was always going, oh man, you got to go listen to, you know, whatever, Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues or whatever the fuck the name of that record is that everyone loves. You know, like I'd go and I'd listen to it and I'd be like, yeah, this is fun. And then afterwards I'd be like, whatever, I don't need to listen to that anymore. And then I don't for years. And there's just, I don't know, they're not a band that hooks me, but that is not meant to invite the ire of the normally pretty silent, but I'm sure is the majority of humanity strung out army against me. I don't want that to happen. So, like, waving a white flag on this one.
You know, I agree with you, Adam, on the Lagwagon thing and Strung Out. I really tried to get into the last Lagwagon album last year. I just couldn't do it. And I didn't hate it. I just wasn't interested for some reason. And it just didn't hit me the way like the bands I love usually do. This song wasn't bad. I mean, I haven't really dug into Strung Out that much. I'll be seeing them in Red City Radio in May, so maybe that'll kind of kickstart everything. But you know, especially I don't know if it's maybe because I really wasn't musically aware during the Epiphat years. This is definitely an Epiphat band. So maybe that's why, and Lagwagon is too. Maybe that's why I just don't really, I don't know, get it that much. Maybe you just had to be there when they were a lot, when they were big, bigger. But I mean, I'm open to it. I really have no ill will against this song at all. I feel like I could be, there are like other things I would put before it.
I mean, I feel like we sound like total cowards even in how we've started this conversation, but I always feel that like in the million billion years that I've been doing punk news, like whenever Strung Out comes up, there are way more people that are excited about it than I quite know how to handle.
Well, like I saw, I have a family member who is, he's not really into this, into punk rock, but he saw,
you're gonna say, he's the singer Strung Out. And
No. He's just a family member. And he saw the punk news article on this song. And he's like, this has restored my faith in the punk genre. Granted, he doesn't know jack shit about punk rock. And that kind of pissed me off when he said it, but I guess this band,
I picture you punching a mirror.
No. but I guess this, I think this band, I guess this kind of resonated with a lot more people that weren't into punk rock as much and not getting into the more grittier stuff. This is very melodic, but still hardcore. I think like Good Riddance, also probably was, got a lot of, Epiphat fans, they're excited. That new record, Lagwagon did for sure. Swingin' Utters, when their albums came out last year. So I think some of these people like coming out saying like, I'm excited for this record, are on a bit of a nostalgia kind of bender. I don't know.
John, you've been quiet.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to start a war. I'm not trying to be a hater. Just let me phrase it this way. What is so special about this? Like, when I listen to Dead Kennedys, when I listen to Black Flag, when I listen to Downtown Boys, when I listen to Bad Canoes, when I listen to Pushing It to the Limit, it moves my soul. It gets me excited. I want to jump around the room. It takes me to a certain, you know, when I listen to Rudimentary Peni, when I listen to Amoebics, it takes me to a certain headspace, a different level of thought. Does this music shake anybody's soul? Does this music, like, really send chills down anybody's back? This just sounds like bland mid-tempo pop rock, like, and it's entirely possible that I'm missing something, because there are many bands that I did not like or even hate it, and then like became my favorite bands, the Melvins being one of them. I want the listeners to write in and tell me what's special about this record, you know, like, or this band. Like, what does this band do so phenomenal that like makes it your favorite band? Or what does this band do that no one else can do? Or what does this band do that challenges you or excites you? Or why is this band worth paying attention to? Because I'm just not hearing it. And I'm not trying to be a hater. The band might be nice guys. The music's not offensive. It just sounds like bland mid-tempo pop rock. It's like very safe. The vocals are very processed. The vocals are very popish. Not that pop's always a bad thing, but what's special about this?
You know, I'll do something extra too. When I'm seeing Red City Radio open for them, I'll come back and I'll give a small report if you want.
Yeah. Maybe they're like really good live or something.
Maybe I don't know. I know these guys have a fairly big following with the people that were like into punk rock when it was like during those 90s years when it was big, and like then like kind of stopped listening to the genre after that.
See, I don't want to make that call. I don't want to be like, you know, oh, you guys are into this because, you know, you haven't kept up with it or anything like that. I feel like there was a period in the 90s when everyone was into like the strung out and lagwagon stuff. And I'm trying to figure out like where I was when they were listening, when they were really into that, like with like into that kind of like into that era of Fat Wreck Band. And I'm assuming I was into ska at the time. Like, I'm assuming I was listening to a lot of like Rancid and the Slackers and whatever like goofy ass third wave ska bands I was listening to. Like, maybe everyone was like rocking out the Strung Out and I was like listening to Real Big Fish or something. I don't know because that was my era, but I don't have that nostalgia and I haven't quite figured out why.
But even like, I'm not a huge what band did you just mention, Adam? What ska band did you just mention?
What, Real Big Fish?
Yeah. Like, I'm not a real huge Real Big Fish fan, but I get it. You know, it's fun. It's energetic. It's funny. It gets you jumping around. You know, like, does this get anybody jumping around? Or let's say somebody say, well, no, it doesn't get you excited. You know, it's calm or it's reflective or the lyrics are really good. But then. Why is it punk? Like, why do they put on a punk facade or say they're a punk band?
Well, you can't deny that this band definitely has that, like, quote-unquote punk rock, fat wreck sound.
That's my point, though.
They definitely do. You know, this is just and I'm not a hater at all. Like, I have a respect for these guys. I think the music wasn't bad. I think putting it all together just – for me didn't work, but
so anyways, yeah. Like, seriously, people, podcast at punknews.org. I want someone to write us in and give us like sell us on Strung Out.
Yeah
like don't yell also, at us, because lots of people yell at us. Like, I want someone to sell me on Strung Out.
I'm looking at their discography list right now. Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues came out in 96. Twisted by Design came out in 98. Another Day in Paradise was 94. So was that your Real Big Fish?
Oh, that was, there was a lot of ska happening at that time. That'd be the reason for that. All right. We're going to move on to, we have one last story tonight. It's a sad one. John, you want to run this one?
Well, it's a sad story, but at least it's a sad story that had lots of joy in it. Tom Wilson has passed away. You might not know who Tom Wilson is. And honestly, I didn't either, but I recognize the name. And this is T-H-O-M Wilson. There's another Tom Wilson. That's T-O-M Wilson. But this is T-H-O-M Wilson. Tom Wilson was an incredibly important producer in the punk rock world. He actually started producing and engineering and recording records in the late 70s. He began his earliest career recording like AM pop hits with Seals and Croft. But being kind of a wise guy or being a guy that knew what was good, he actually got involved in the punk rock scene very early on and produced, engineered, and or recorded a lot of punk rock important records. Just here's a list of just – oh, man, did I close it out? I was going through Discogs, and here's a list of just some of the things that Tom Wilson worked on. I mean, this is crazy. These are records that he produced, recorded, or engineered. Here we go. Richard Hung Himself Dr. No, Steve Bader's Disconnected, TSOL, Dance With Me, China White, Danger Zone, TSOL again, DOA, the legendary War on 45 album, Dead Kennedys, the legendary Plastic Surgery Disasters album, The Adolescents' First album, Rick Agnew's All By Myself album, pretty much every Vandals album, including Peace Through Vandalism, and pretty much every record after that, Christian Death's Only Theater of Pain, probably the second or third most famous goth record there is. He worked with Iggy Pop. He did Iggy Pop covering James Brown. Let's see what else we got here. We've got the Offspring. He recorded the Offspring's first and second big album. The second big one is called Smash, which is the highest selling independent record of all time. Tom Wilson produced that. He also recorded with the Bouncing Souls a bunch of times. And interesting, I didn't even know this. According to various sources, Tom Wilson actually said no to other bigger bands who produced punk rock bands. He produced the DI record, and let's see, who else did he? Apparently, I think U2 or gigantic bands asked him to produce their records, and he said, no, I'd rather produce them punk rock record, which is really amazing. I guess that's the right call, but basically, I mean, as far as producers go, the guy, it's hard to find a more important producer in punk rock than Tom Wilson. So much props to him. I don't know if we can say a whole lot about that, except maybe you guys can name a couple of your favorite records that he produced or engineered, and maybe we'll play a track that he worked on. What do you guys think?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen those. Oh God, it was like the Dead Kennedys, like lost tapes in the studio.
Yeah, I know that release.
Is that him in behind the booth?
Oh, I haven't seen the video. Let me. I'll look.
There's a video. I don't know if it might be him. I don't know.
It very well could be. Let me look.
But for me, in terms of my favorite, probably Plastic Surgery Disaster.
So no, it's probably not, because those lost tapes are from the In God We Trust release, right?
I don't remember offhand.
I think they are. I think it's the In God We Trust album, and I don't think he worked on the In God We Trust release. So I bet it's not him.
But yeah, I think probably, yeah, Plastic Surgery Disasters. That's a pretty big one for me.
I think it's the best of Kennedy's album. Yeah, the guy you're talking about, Ricky, is Oliver DeChicco.
Ah, okay. So I'm wrong. All right, well, Adam what about you?
Adam, are you there? I guess Adam's gone. Ricky, you're there, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope Adam pulls
through. Hello. Hi.
Oh, you're there, Adam. Adam.
Yeah, I have this cough button that I'm using. It's called mute because I'm dying, but no one knows. But I just left it on there so no one actually knew. So I wanted to just – we're talking about his discography here. Sync with California by Youth Brigade. I'm just trying to figure out what he did on that one in particular, but that was I love that record, so that's one that he was on, I guess. That was quite cool. Yeah, that early TSOL, Hopeless Romantic by the Bouncing Souls. There's a lot of cool stuff that he worked on. I guess, you know, there's a documentary that could be written about Smash at some point. So, anyways, what are we playing, John?
Let's play my favorite Dead Kennedys song, or one of my favorite Dead Kennedys songs, and one that Tom Wilson worked on. Let's play Forest Fire.
No junk food, just earthly goods. I ate weird berries in the woods. Now I'm seeing colors. Getting higher, I think I'll start a forest fire. There's a forest fire climbing the hill, but watch the California hose. They run, 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 run right from the fire. But some of us stay and watch, and we think of your insurance cost. Bars, security guards. Is that a house or a fortress? Is this the rest of the world? It was a couple of bars, security guards. Is that a house or a prison? Now you're gonna get out. A drink bowl and your dinner's cooked. Big sports cars and your boats. Getting dry, 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 by the fire. With a couple of bars, five bites for the yard. It's a pleasure to watch you all melt. But hey, what about the cocaine? Stock bottle in the basement, the hair and tail it. Yeah, you're gonna need it. With a brand new pretty wife, she might still be inside. Even save her all your cocaine from the fire. But the doors and doors are locked, till the burglar alarms are off. Ever wonder why we laugh at your life? Where's a couple of bars,
in your grip, and how you're gonna get out.
All right, that was Forest Fire by the Dead Kennedys, and that wraps it up for tonight.
Engineered by Tom Wilson, R.I.P.
Engineered by Tom Wilson. Thanks for being on the show, John. We're going to get an email about Strung Out now. Ricky, thanks for holding things down last week when there was a coup.
Not a problem.
And, so we'll talk to you people next week. That's it.